Welcome to the Gazette's Daily News Podcast for Monday, April 15th, 2024. This podcast provides the latest headlines from the Gazette Newsroom. I'm Becky Lucian Gardner. First, Iowa consumable hemp retailers are warning that legislation recently passed by the legislature is still waiting for Governor Kim Reynolds' signature will have, quote, devastating consequences for the consumable hemp market in Iowa. Lawmakers earlier this month passed House File 2605 that would restrict the potency of hemp-derived products sold in Iowa and place several regulations on retailers. Under the bill, products would be limited to less than 4 milligrams of THC per serving and 10 milligrams per package. THC is the main active chemical in cannabis that causes a high. Consumable hemp products were legalized in the 2018 Federal Farm Bill and later in the Iowa Hemp Act. The laws allow for the sale of hemp products that contain less than 0.3% THC by weight. The laws were intended to address sales of non-intoxicating compounds like cannabis oil or CBD. Still, they also legalize the sale of hemp-derived THC products that have a similar psychoactive effect to traditional marijuana. Products containing the THC sold at shops and bars generally range from 2.5 milligrams to 10 milligrams per serving, but some contain higher concentrations. The legislation would affect not only intoxicating products, but also those sold for therapeutic purposes. Rick Wegeman, who owns HWCBD in West Des Moines, says the business sells various hemp products, including gummies, drinks, capsules, soft gels, oils, balms, lotions, and creams. Wegeman asserts by lumping hemp-derived THC products with psychoactive effects under the same definition as non-intoxicating consumable hemp products, the bill effectively restricts access to safe and legal products. Wegeman says, quote, "It will make it next to impossible to provide our thousands of customers with the non-intoxicating, legal, consumable hemp products they have come to depend on for years. Yes, we agree that there are loopholes that need to be fixed, but the language in this bill throws the baby out with the bathwater," he says. Reynolds' office did not respond to requests for comment. Next, a recent $418 million national settlement with a major real estate group is poised to reshape how retailers engage with home sellers and buyers. This settlement, reached in class action lawsuits against the National Association of Realtors, addresses allegations of excessive fees and steering buyers toward higher-priced properties for larger commissions. The agreement, which is subject to court approval, mandates significant changes. It eliminates commission rules and upfront agreements on services and fees between realtors and their clients. This shift could usher in a rise in brokers offering discounted commission rates, altering the traditional 5 or 6% standard fee. Potential savings are substantial. With a national median home price at $485,000, buyers will now determine compensation for listing properties on multiple listing services, granting them more control over costs. Gavin Blair, CEO of the Iowa Association of Realtors, acknowledges some members' discomfort in disclosing fees up front, yet he believes enhanced communication and transparency will facilitate the transition. This sentiment is echoed by William Bull, an economics professor at Drake University's Zippelman College of Business, who anticipates a market shift towards full-service and discount brokers, offering homeowners more choices. This landmark settlement promises a seismic shift in the real estate landscape, empowering buyers and reshaping industry practices. As Blair notes, uncomfortable conversations about fees may arise, but ultimately increased transparency and competition are expected to benefit consumers. Buyers are expected to capitalize on this shift, leveraging increased competition to negotiate lower commissions. Finally, Caitlin Clark's performance during the NCAA's Final Four wasn't just about stats on the court. It also had significant economic implications for Iowa City. Josh Schomburger, president of Think Iowa City, noted a substantial increase in visitation, hotel bookings, and dining, attributing to Clark's performance. The Common Sense Institute attempted to quantify this, estimating an economic impact ranging anywhere from $14.4 to $52.3 million. Clark's rising popularity led to a rise in out-of-state attendees at Carver-Hawkeye Arena, anywhere from 10.3% to 14.8%, even as overall attendance doubled for those games. Local businesses like Brian Flynn's Restaurants and Matt Swift's Big Grove Brewery saw a surge in patronage during those game nights, transforming slow Mondays into bustling evenings. Swift noted the significant shift from sparse attendance a few years ago to packed houses today, reflecting the newfound enthusiasm for Iowa women's basketball. Despite Clark's imminent departure for the WNBA, Swift and others are optimistic about the enduring energy and economic benefits for Iowa women's basketball. Swift believes that while the buzz may subside, the team's sustained success will keep the excitement alive. As Swift aptly puts it, "I think the buzz is going to continue. It might not be a fever pitch, but I think these teams are going to be good for a long time." Monday's weather will be sunny with a high near 78. Monday night, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, mainly after 2 a.m., low around 53. Tuesday will have showers and possibly a thunderstorm. High is going to be near 71. You can find a link to the stories featured in today's episode in the episode's description or at thegazette.com. Thank you for listening to the Gazette's Daily News Podcast. I'm Becky Luchin-Gardner.